of Kevin Miller in the Morning is brought to you by Tway Travel, your adventure travel specialists. Fighting for America.
U.S. wins 2-1 in dramatic fashion.
Why are we so down with this game?
Team USA with the win. America beat Ghana last night in their first World Cup game.
Do we know where Ghana is?
Fighting for Idaho.
USA now plays Portugal on June 22nd.
I'd rather see a quarterback throw a touchdown or a NASCAR guy taking a bunch of left turns.
Fighting for you.
Hey, you remember this from the last World Cup? Was that the Vavazuzu or whatever? Remember that? Remember we used to play that all the time? Like incessantly? You can relieve yourself of the guilt of not liking soccer right here.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the Morning. On 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
580 KIDO, Kevin Miller in the Morning. Good to have you with us. Joined now by the truth teller, the investigator, Chris Farrell of Judicial Watch. Chris, good to have you with us.
Great to be on with you, Kevin. How are you?
You know, we admire your work, nonpartisan truth-telling, and it never ends. Do you believe, and you were just as diligent, just as hard on the Bush administration as the Obama administration, have we really gone 5 yards past the Rubicon or 100 yards past the Rubicon, or even further when we're talking about credibility, when we're talking about the law and this administration?
We can check in with Susan Rice and get her opinion on that. I mean, she's a serial liar, right?
Yes.
How many Sunday talk shows is she going to go on and lie about things? So, yeah, I mean, the laughter is the best means of detecting just how bad things are. You know, people laugh at identification with things, and so. When this administration's credibility is less than zero.
Well, the troubling part about this, and I even caught myself in mid commentary. I was trying to talk about the Washington Redskins, and I'm going, look, these guys have the audacity to go after the Redskins when the hard drives now from the IRS emails have been destroyed, and there's no marching in their streets, there's no Vavazuzu, there's nothing, there's no response.
It's astounding. I mean, I want to know where all the protesters are that were out in Lafayette Square protesting Bush. Where did they all go?
Exactly.
Is it that Soros stopped writing checks to have these people show up, or you know, what do you think it is?
I think we need to occupy our government.
Yeah, it's a mess. I mean, I guess. It isn't really very reassuring, but there is a good side to it, and that is that most Americans are very busy leading their lives, going to work, getting the kids out the door to school, paying the mortgage, paying the car payment, doing all those sorts of everyday things. And in large part, the day-to-day existence is really not affected by the various shenanigans of this administration. That is somewhat reassuring, but there is a broader, more disturbing pattern, and that is the incrementalism, the slow march through the institutions that these ideologues, and they are socialist ideologues, that they're having with their sort of corrosive change to how the country operates. So there's two perspectives really to look at it. I guess one's bottom up, the other one's top down. They're both equally true and real. It's just that one is slow motion, and the other one is just sort of a day-in, day-out kind of thing.
Well, let's get to it. This is something that your organization, Judicial Watch, has gotten farther than Congress, than the government, than anyone else, quite frankly, than President Obama and Eric Holder are comfortable with. Now we have the disclosures that the emails have been destroyed. And yesterday, I guess a couple of days ago, published report that the Republicans now have enough votes in Congress to impeach, but they won't do it. Daryl Issa says the emails just don't get blown up. Your take on what's going on with the IRS and the 2 years of emails from Lois Lerner that possibly detail persecution, prosecution of people that were conservative or Christians or people that disagreed with the administration?
Well, let me claim full credit, which is something I don't usually do, but the only reason anybody knows anything about IRS shenanigans and Lois Lerner is because Judicial Watch sued and got in front of a federal judge and compelled the IRS to produce records to us. The records obtained by Congress are a fraction of what we obtained, and most of their records were highly redacted, meaning they were blacked out. So the only way anybody knows anything about this, frankly, is because of our successful lawsuit and the analysis we've done on these records. You may recall that about a month ago, there was the initial revelation that Lois Lerner was communicating with the Federal Election Commission, the FEC, targeting various groups. And then there was a one-week break, and then a week after that, we had the second set of emails showing Lois Lerner looking for a criminal indictment and prosecution of a 501c4 organization to teach them a lesson. Those are her words. And Congress received none of those. And here's the reason why. Congress is involved in a political game where they send sharply worded letters back and forth to each other with no real effects, no real enforcement. Our approach is a legal approach, not a political approach. And our legal approach, by going into court in front of a federal judge, makes the agency pay attention, makes them produce records. And that's why we've been able to move the ball so much further down the field than Congress.
So where do we go from here, Chris?
There's more documents on the way. What's interesting is that no government attorney has made any representations to us concerning the unavailability of email records. So I have a question in the back of my head that says, well, gee, if they're doing this sort of grandstanding, oh, gee, we lost everything. I mean, the whole world knows they back everything up, right? I mean, this is not a surprise. This is not, you know, 1975 where we're struggling with the concept of, you know, this new electronic communications. So all their emails are backed up, and no one denies that. The fact that her hard drive is gone or shot or whatever, to me, is obstruction of justice, and it would be great to get some discovery on that, get some sworn declarations from people as to what they did or didn't do with that particular device. But nonetheless, everything that they do is required to be backed up. There's a law. There's three federal laws and a handful of regulations governing the IRS and their record communications. So they're there. It's just a matter of getting them. And we will. You know, we don't forget. We don't go away. We litigate cases for 10, 15 years. We will not forget or give up on this. We'll continue to drive down on it long after Congress has moved on to the next, you know, bright, shiny object that gets their attention.
Speaking of which, Chris Farrell with us, Judicial Watch, Kevin Miller in the morning, 580KIDO. This is the battle that you fight, that I fight daily. Chris, this is stuff that has never gone on, I believe, in American history. And yet we have people that, as you said, you know, they're going on with their lives, but they should be darn right disturbed that their privacy, their freedom of speech, of organization has been, well, prosecuted by this government.
Yeah, I mean, look, this is a case where the Obama administration has gone after political opponents using the IRS as a weapon. There's no other way to express it. There's no other. I mean, you can put lipstick on the pig, but all it does is make the pig angry, right? This is. There's no other way to describe or explain this other than the political use of the IRS to suppress political opponents. And while they're being manipulated and used that way, the other half of the equation that everyone needs to remember is, or ask yourself the question, what is the enforcement arm of the government for Obamacare? And the answer is the IRS.
Exactly. And here we have this going on, and your friend Eric Holder just kind of sits back, and the president kind of sits back, and they make some partisan charges, and we move on to the next circus.
Yeah, the arrogance is just unbelievable. I mean, there's nothing like it in memory, at least in my memory. I'm 53 years old, and I can't think of anything else like this. I mean, the Clintons lied, but they weren't ideologues. They were just looking to line their pockets, right?
Right.
They were looking to monetize and collect on every act of government that they could figure out for themselves. So whether it was pardons or access to trade missions, you know, they were going to jam their pockets with cash. This is different. This is an ideological assault. These are hard over leftists, and the president's delivering on his campaign promise. He promised a fundamental transformation, and he is delivering big time.
Chris, how many times have you heard on radio or you've been at conferences and people talk about the dangers of the left, hypothetically, just to reinforce what you've said? Now we're seeing it concretely.
Yeah, this is not some faculty lounge debate, right? This is real live stuff. This is the way in which the government operates day in, day out. I'm enormously disappointed in the fact that there's little or no whistleblower activity. There's no one with a spine or with guts who has popped up and said, no, enough. I don't care what the cost is. I'm not participating in this anymore. In particular, I'm a former Army officer. In particular, the absolute cowardice of our general officers and flag officers, none of whom have resigned in protest. They have stood idly by or actively participated in really some shameful conduct, whether it's Benghazi, whether it's this administration's very aggressive effort to conduct social engineering experiments in the military. None of them has stood up and said, no, there's no modern-day Billy Mitchell, right? And most of your listeners, I don't know, maybe they will, maybe they don't know about Billy Mitchell, but you know, here's a guy who's an Army Air Corps general who's reduced in rank to colonel and then put on trial for saying some very inconvenient, awkward things that happen to be the truth. There's no flag officer in the military today doing that. They're all kind of go along the get along guys.
Well, Chris, here's the other thing at 580KIDO. There's no journalist willing to break any stories about this. They give these stories, these real life stories about the IRS going after Americans for their political beliefs, just a tepid piece of exposure.
Yeah, and the ones that do try to press it, a friend and colleague, Cheryl Atkinson at CBS News, formerly of CBS News, she had to leave CBS News, frankly, because the environment, the situation there became untenable. And I've had long talks with her about the situation there at CBS News. Of course, the president of the news division, one of the Rhodes brothers, his brother is Ben Rhodes, who's a National Security Council deputy in the Obama White House. Isn't that convenient?
It is, Chris Farrell. And here's the other thing that gets me. You go to Cheryl Atkinson. Here's a great reporter that also had her computers looked into. Don't know by who, but her computers were tapped into. She was followed like James Rosen, and nothing has been done about this. I'm going to go back to the old cliche thing, but it's the truth. If this had been George Bush, he'd be doing time in Leavenworth.
Indeed. I mean, it's an astounding. They get a pass on virtually everything. And when you raise the issue, when there's serious questioning done of it, the objective of those people that ask questions is to take them and isolate them, freeze them, ridicule them, and try to marginalize them, turn them into cartoon characters. The left is doing that to some degree concerning Benghazi. They're trying to use Benghazi as a punchline. They want that word. They want people to laugh and snicker when the word Benghazi is uttered. And they're successful to a certain degree. They want it to be a late-night talk show host, you know, eye-roller, like, oh, man, not this again. And it's shameful. It is really, really shameful to do that to a very important, very serious event with deadly consequences for Americans. And if you know, when there's an effort to drill down and push on it, like the select committee that's been formed, the left will do everything in the world to make those committee members look like lunatics.
Chris Farrell from Judicial Watch, judicialwatch.org. Please stand by. More coming up next. Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. Time to get you
on Hannity, weekday afternoons at 3 on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
If you like your doctor, you can keep your doctor. If you like your private health insurance plan, you can keep your plan. Period. And that is what we saw play out in the last 2 weeks, as a crude and disgusting video sparked outrage throughout the Muslim world. It is an insult not only to Muslims. I will close Guantanamo. I will restore habeas corpus.
I believe that marriage is the union between a man and a woman.
And we'll cut the cost of a typical family's health care by up to $2,500 per year.
KIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning. Call them what you will. They're lies from the president. With us now, the truth detector, Chris Farrell of Judicial Watch, judicialwatch.org, nonpartisan group that holds government accountable. Chris, the danger here that I think is that the president has gained so much power over culture with the Redskins, over our society with the IRS, over security with the NSA, that regardless of who succeeds him, my fear is that we've lost our freedoms permanently.
The government never doesn't use its full weight and authority, right? So I guess the way to express that in a positive sense is that the federal government will always exercise all of the powers available to it to the fullest extent imaginable. There's no half measures. And every administration that comes in behind the next one always adopts the sort of aggressive position of a predecessor and then does their own sort of embroidery around the edges. So you'll see Obama, you know, talks a good line about transparency, but, you know, he's taken Bush secrecy and inflated it, you know, 100 times over.
And that's the issue. What happens to whoever decides to will succeed him? Let me get to some of the latest from Judicial Watch, because no one is above the law. You're now suing Departments of Defense and State for records about Benghazi briefings of congressional leaders.
Yeah, because we want to know, you know, there's the Super 8 or the Gang of Eight, the congressional leaders who get briefed on all these clandestine and covert activities around the world. And you'll remember back in 2009, Nancy Pelosi was briefed on enhanced interrogation techniques that were politically renamed torture, and she suddenly developed amnesia. She couldn't begin to remember when she was briefed on that. And I think the same standard will apply with respect to Benghazi. So you're going to find out that Boehner was briefed on what was going on at Benghazi and knew about it. And that answers in part why he dragged his feet so long to appoint a select committee. And Kevin, one last thing. I'm on a hard break at the bottom of the hour with another commitment that I have.
All right. Well, let me get you out of here on this one, Chris. What about the Bergdahl situation?
Yeah, I think way too much attention is paid to Bergdahl. I think he's kind of a fruit loop. I think what's much more important are the five guys we gave away. I think the attention should be focused on how and why and who made the decisions and how those five were identified and what the justification for it was. Those five terrorists pose a grave and immediate threat to our country. They're sitting in a hotel room in Qatar with laptops and cell phones organizing the next strike on America. And Bergdahl himself, like I said, I think he's a fruit loop. I think, you know, he's a troubled individual. He should be ignored, frankly, or let real justice have its way with him through the Uniform Code of Military Justice. But the real threat are the five bad guys that they let go.
Chris Farrell, to be continued. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
All right, Chris Farrell, Judicial Watch. Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO, and you've been hearing about in the news, maybe you saw it on Channel 7 this morning, the Bergdahl hearings. Let's take a listen from a gentleman that served with Sergeant Bergdahl.
He walked off on his own accord. If he never would have walked off, he never would have been held in captivity. The rest of us fought for the guy to our left and our right and in front and the back, and I don't know how he felt about us, but you know, we all felt strongly that we would give our lives for him.
Very emotional testimony yesterday. The administration still under heavy criticism concerning Bo Bergdahl. Here is Andy Andrews, the father of deceased Lieutenant Darren Andrews, being questioned by the government's decision to go ahead with the prisoner swap at 580 KIDO.
To me, this situation with us not being told the whole truth and then trading a private for five high-ranking Taliban, exactly why did my son die? Tell me one more time. Because I don't know what we've accomplished.
Powerful question. Your thoughts. Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO.
Ramsey, weekdays noon till 3 on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. Phone number is here, 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Coming up, we'll take a look at the big battle for House leadership between Congressman Labrador and Congress McCarthy. It's interesting that looks like now the over-under is that Labrador might get 30 or 40 votes, but whether he wins or loses, let's face it, this strategy has been successful. Another above-the-fold puff piece in today's Statesman by Popke on politics. And look, perception being reality, you could say that Congressman Labrador could have been in trouble when he, in fact, decided to endorse Senator Fulcher. And now, all of a sudden, he is the belle of the ball, although realistically, how big of a chance this is and who really benefits by this campaign except Congressman Labrador, unless he wins. What's the chances of that? We go live now to Rachel Sutherland, Fox News Radio, with the latest on the McCarthy-Labrador vote coming up today, noon today, Mountain Time. Rachel, good morning.
Hi. Good morning, Kevin. Yeah, it is a busy day here on Capitol Hill. And really, House Minority Whip Kevin McCarthy of California is considered the odds-on favorite to win. But as you mentioned, he is facing this late challenge from your representative, Raul Labrador. Labrador is saying that voters rejected House leadership when they ousted Eric Cantor, so they need to be listening and make a change. That's his argument.
Hey, Rachel, fascinating point. You cover these politics all the time, like most people cover college football here. It's a little different than a voters in a district and each individual congressman, because the House Whip, and you don't have to be a fan of House of Cards to understand this, that the House Whip really controls the House.
Right, a lot of power here. And definitely it is different. It's not a typical election. This is a secret ballot. Normally on Capitol Hill, you even see on C-SPAN that the vote and who's doing what. In this case, they're not going to be, these votes are not going to be public. They're going to be secret. We won't know how people voted. And it's kind of an inside baseball kind of thing. People are interested across the country in this particular vote, but typically these votes are just sort of inside baseball and no one really cares. In this case, it's different. You know, you have Eric Cantor falling in spectacular fashion in Virginia, and everybody's watching to see, okay, how are they going to arrange the deck chairs now on Capitol Hill?
Well, and it is really fascinating that you didn't have any of the more seasoned conservatives jumping in. You have Congressman Labrador, not yet in Congress for 4 years, from a western state with his very distinctive achievement-oriented background, jumping in, and he has been the belle of the ball on the Sunday shows. And win or lose, does he benefit from this?
Yeah, probably. He would raise his profile somewhat. I think a lot of folks outside of Idaho aren't really sure who he is. But now he is kind of making a bit of a splash and saying, look, we need to make a change here. He refers to Kevin McCarthy as kind of just being the status quo. And so you have a deeply divided party that's going to be going behind closed doors here in about 4 hours, casting these secret ballots, and then I don't know. We'll watch for the smoke, maybe.
Rachel Sutherland, live from Capitol Hill. Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO. She's with our friends at Fox News Radio. Rachel, it's interesting, and again, not to go too Idaho on you, but on one hand, you have Mike Simpson, who is John Boehner's good friend, if not best friend, moving his way up the old-fashioned way. And then you have the firebrand, Congressman Labrador, who had a puff piece in the Post. I mean, people kill to be on Capitol Hill for 20 years and not get such a high-profile piece in the Washington Post that was carried here locally.
Yeah, right. And as you mentioned, it appears that his profile is definitely rising. And if he wins, if he were to to win, obviously that would be a big boon for him. But again, Kevin McCarthy is considered to be the odds-on favorite, and I would be surprised if he did not win. But hey, I was surprised, you know, Tuesday before last when I was watching the election. I'm a Virginian, and I was watching the election results come in, and Eric Cantor just got it handed to him. That was it.
Yeah, but you've been around enough to know those are two different worlds. The congressman, even though it's a secret vote, which I believe will help Congressman Labrador, know that if they cross Kevin McCarthy, if they embarrass him with a close win, if they embarrass the speaker, then they'll be heck to pay. I guess the big thing is whether there are enough folks that agree with Congressman Labrador, win or lose, to send a message by giving him a significant portion of votes. Because let's face it, and here's a little run-on for you, Rachel, if it is close, it only weakens Republican leadership.
Well, and again, yeah, that deeply divided leadership, and that could be a problem for Republicans going into the fall 2014 midterms. I was talking to political analysts who are saying, yeah, this is an issue for them, and they need to be able to resolve that and kind of define what it means to be a Republican. I think that's often a question that's in their minds, kind of an ideological divide that's going on within the party.
It is. So how do you think Boehner's doing on this? I mean, he's not one to withhold things. Because how it works on Capitol Hill is, you know, you have the Kevin McCarthy, very popular guy as the whip. He went home to California very confident, doing a different strategy than Congressman Labrador, who has been on all the big shows, getting all the publicity. And I guess we'll see how the House really works, whether it's the behind-the-scenes calling individual folks. I mean, the guy had 35, and out of 35, he had 32 deputies already campaigning for him last week.
Right. As far as how House Speaker John Boehner feels about all of this, he's really been pretty quiet about his own thoughts on this. And he's pretty much a straight-up guy, though. He says what he means and means what he says. And, you know, I'm sure he'll have something to say after the vote is held. And then they have to, of course, pass the torch. Eric Cantor will have to, I guess they'll transition him out and bring in the new majority leader in. I don't know if there's some sort of, if he walks them through or does some sort of training, but there'll be a handoff here shortly, within a week or two, I would imagine.
Now, Rachel, we have to since we're really going into the micro niche programming here at 580KIDO, there are some great perks. Cantor is going to go from the penthouse to, I don't know about the outhouse, but you know, majority leader, you get a lot of perks. You get a car, you get a driver, you get lots of offices. A very different world from a four-year guy from Idaho.
Right, or maybe a newbie. Yeah, it's a different world. They get perks, and they certainly get their profile raised. There's a lot of good things that come with the job, but I would imagine, I mean, I watch House Speaker John Boehner sometimes looks so frustrated he doesn't know what to do.
Yes.
And he cries and carries on. And so it's a tough job. I mean, no one really wants it. Not many people run for Congress and then don't rise to the leadership level. So, yeah, the perks go with the job, I guess.
Rachel Sutherland with us, Fox News Radio, live from Capitol Hill at 580KIDO. So is there a scenario deep in the bowels of Freedom Works and Tea Party this and Tea Party that where Congressman Labrador could win, some type of scenario today?
I think that there is a scenario, but because it's a secret ballot and because no one's really coming out and campaigning for one another, and a lot of this is, as you mentioned, sort of back behind closed doors, maybe on the phone, there's not a whole lot of openness surrounding this, except that you see Representative Labrador, like you mentioned, in front of the cameras. Other than that, this has been pretty quiet. And we could see anything today. I probably wouldn't be shocked by almost any result today.
Well, Rachel, it's interesting, though. Does it really impact people being in front of the cameras, those folks on Capitol Hill? That'll be interesting. And maybe it's not more about Labrador, per se, more about Boehner and the direction of House leadership that this vote is about today.
It is. It will definitely determine the direction of House leadership. What it's about, well, we'll know that when the result comes this afternoon. If voters go with Representative Labrador, then you would think that maybe they do want to take leadership in a different direction. And then that person, if it's Labrador, would have to work with John Boehner. And it makes you wonder, I mean, how are they going to get along? But Boehner said that he can work with anybody.
Well, but remember, Labrador was part of the failed coup 2 years ago.
All right, right. So it does make one wonder how this new leadership will all work together. Certainly they'll have to. I mean, whatever the outcome, and work to unite and have some sort of message and direction there for the party.
Rachel Sutherland, I'd rather talk about this than the World Cup, but then again, I talk to myself in a funny room for 4 hours each day.
You like this stuff, don't you?
I live for it. I do. I think it's fascinating. And win, lose, or draw, it really impacts our country. We appreciate it. We'd love to hear from you again sometime.
Oh, would love it. Thanks.
Take care, ma'am. All right, Rachel Sutherland with the Inside Skinny. That'll be today at noon. And we'll talk a little bit about this at 580-5436. I know a lot of people really appreciate Congressman Labrador stepping up and doing this. But on the other hand, as he chooses to go on national radio shows, like our friend Sean Hannity's show and other national shows, gee, I wonder if Sean Hannity wanted to give him an hour, if he could make time for that, or it's the 15-minute rule that he imposed on us. Oh, something to think about. We can't be... We have to be a speed bump for both sides, don't we? Fair and balanced? All right, I digress. 7:48, Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. Time for traffic now.
Sean Hannity, weekday afternoons at 3 on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
The Redskins, who knows if they're going to be fighting anymore. Good morning. Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. You don't have to be a fan of sports to look at the hypocrisy involving the government going after the Washington Redskins and their offensive trademark, getting rid of 6 copyrights. Is this the United States of America, or do we live in Huxley's Brave New World? Do we live in Orwell's 1984? Where are the freedoms in America today? You know, we talk about America and Idaho and how much we love the gem state. But take a look at where we are. How many folks today, and this is going on in my industry today as well, when we don't talk about serious issues. Oh, people have had enough of that. Nobody wants to wake up to high blood pressure. This is the problem that what happens when we ignore the big issues of the day. We have the IRS losing 2 years of emails detailing the prosecution of people because of their political beliefs. Let me rephrase that one more time. Prosecuting people because of their political beliefs. That's more like the old Soviet Union. That's more like Mexico. That's more like Central America than the United States of America, right? Sad. Then we have all heck breaking loose in Iraq and the president of the United States saying, I might send in more troops, but I don't have to tell Congress. Doesn't he have to by law? And then we have people running around about the World Cup. Where do we begin? I'll tell you this. It is darn right troubling when we think of the direction we're at. And we see that, I guess, with the state Republican Party. You listen to some people. And Ray, I guess we really need to make a run at our friend Representative Erpelding this week, please, because I think Erpelding will give us, he's the only Democrat that'll come on with us. Erpelding, well, you're right, Nicola Favor as well. He's the only one that's going to give us the analysis of what's happening with the state GOP. One group says that Barry Peterson, who was on this program yesterday, is not the chairman. And then another group says that he is. And here's the point that I'm going to make, and you're going to say, well, you were wrong about Bundy, you were wrong about Bergdahl, you're wrong about Labrador. Where's the guy that was the chairman of that convention in Moscow? Well, he's in Washington running for majority leader. Now, if you can't keep the convention together, Dan Popke, who won't say this because he writes puff pieces now, and others in your own state, how in the world can you organize effectively the majority in Congress. See, that's the skinny that no one wants to talk about because it's the amen media. Well, not here. But, oh, isn't this great? Well, it's kind of like someone when they come to work and they want to be the boss the first day up and they want to jump over everyone without paying their dues. How in the world can you become the majority leader of Congress, which, again, incredible guts to do, but just leave the state convention in shambles? Embarrassing, right? Why isn't anybody else talking about it? Coming up next, do we really have closed or open borders? First, traffic at 580. Coming up next, we go live to the border, 580 KIDO. Serving